Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome to City of Iqaluit Engineering and Public Works Committee of the Whole, number one, for March 23rd, 2023. Waiting for that clock to turn to 6 o'clock was longer than watching my treadmill numbers come down. You have an agenda in front of you. I'm looking for an adoption of that agenda. Is there a mover? Moved by Councillor Smith, seconded by Councillor Kwasa. Are there any comments or questions to the agenda? Noting none, all in favor? That's Councillor Nuttuck. Namaktu. Still. Quietly. Testing in English. Testing in English. Namaktu Kalunaktu. Okay. We'll do this all over again. With the agenda, all those in favor? That's unanimous. Perfect. Moving on to declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest on any of the items today? Noting none, we'll move straight to number five, a new business and the long-term water supply project status update. That is Suman who will be coming up.
Good evening, Chairperson. Good evening, Committee. So I'm going to provide you an update with the long-term water supply project. Basically, the funding agreement or the contribution agreement has been, we are in the last phases of signing this document. Basically, our legal team provided with some comments on clause 19 and 20 of this particular contribution agreement, which related to environmental impact assessment. So we have sent those comments to Infrastructure Canada. They are reviewing it, and hopefully they will not come back with any further comments, and then we should be ready to sign this contribution agreement by April. I'm hoping by April this year. In terms of project kickoff, we got the project management consultants, co-leaders on board last year, and we had the first kickoff meeting on January 9th, 2023. We had two meetings with Nunavut Water Board regarding the permitting process, basically the last one being on 13th of March. And there were quite a number of points that were raised during those meetings. One of the basic reasons why we are trying to closely interact with the Nunavut Water Board is that the licensing or the permitting process. So we were thinking in a different direction, and we were forced to kind of reconcile with the requirements of the Water Board. Basically, what they have told us is, our license expires in June 2026, and before that, we have to put an application to include a named lake as the new water source in that license. Now, in order to do that, we have to follow a number of steps. What they have said is that once we put that application, it'll take about a year to process that application. So in what we were thinking would be a relatively quick process, that will actually be a long process. It'll take a year or more. Some of the documents that are required with the application is listed here. The most challenging one being the flow measurements. We have limited flow measurements. We tried constructing a weir, which has been turned down by the water board. They said that they will not allow any construction at the site until and unless we have that water source included in license. We are now trying a different route, like doing some temporary installations through sensors and then taking flow measurements. The other challenge is in terms of getting raw water quality analysis. We have some data from 2019, the last time we did some water samples there. So that, on that front also, I think we need to gather more information and data. So what we are thinking is we will probably submit an application once. Is there a problem with the volume here? It's like, there's an echo here. I don't know. So in terms of application, what we are thinking at the moment is that we'll proceed with the design and progress till the 30% before we go to water board and submit our application to include our name in the existing license. The reason being that it might be coming back with a lot of questions if we do it early, like at this stage. So I'm guessing that once we are planning to go to float an RFP process in April, May, around that time. So by the time we are ready with the 30% design documents, it could well be 2024. So I'm thinking like we will submit the application to Water Board in 2024. It'll take a year. Even then, it's 2025, and we still have one more year before the existing license expires. The other important thing is that the first step will be publishing an RFP for the environmental engineering consulting side. We are planning to do that over the next month or the next 2 months. In 2022, around August, I presented to the committee about an approach called the design-build approach. And we had a couple of internal discussions of modifying that into a more pragmatic approach of doing a progressive design build. And I'll call Ian McBean over here to present on that progressive design build approach. And after that, I'll speak a little more about why we don't want to take this approach and do a conventional design bid build approach based on the initial feedback we got from Water Board. So over to Ian McBean.
So Mark, should I just sort of stop after the progressive design build portion?
Yes.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having me. So can everyone see the presentation? Okay. So as Suman had said, when we got on board late last year, the idea was to progress the delivery of the project in a design-build approach. I think this is just some background information. So as you know, the project includes raw water extraction from the lake, conveyance to the new storage facility, a new storage reservoir, and then there's treated water network upgrades, which is not really the subject of this discussion tonight. We have a work breakdown structure for the overall project. Again, it's the intake, supply, and storage. water distribution upgrades right now. We have Federal Road water main extension, ATCO loop decommissioning. We have a Utilidor water model under development. Astro Hill Utilidor upgrades is in the design phase. We have, as a result of the completed water model, we will be trying to optimize the system with upgrades. Of course, we don't see all the loops on there, but all the aging pipe will be looked at. We are right now coming up with a prioritization strategy for all of the upgrades, and that will include some form of SCADA, probably to monitor water flows at each loop, and potentially some leak detection devices. So back to the long-term water project. As you know, there's two primary regulatory parties involved, the Nunavut Impact Review Board, NIRB, and the Nunavut Water Board. We have met with both of these bodies over the past couple of months. And as Suman had said, it looks like the permitting requirements are going to be 3 to 4 months with NIRB and a minimum 1 year with the Water Board. So they are quite time consuming. We'll just go over a little history of the previous proposed strategy of design build. The primary advantage of design build is schedule acceleration. And I know, with this, the funding source and with the critical nature of this water supply issue, I think that was the right approach. You can see the advantages. Instead of having separate designers, consultants, builders, you have one entity that's responsible for overall design and construction. They take on the design risk. And the big advantage is they can start construction before the design is finished. So that's how you accelerate the schedule. The risk, the schedule and cost risk is transferred to the design builder. Another key advantage of design build is we would have strict performance criteria in any contract, and that commissioning and certification process is not done until that's achieved. So that risk is transferred to them as well. Now the big problem with design build is it's typically based on a 30% design, and so for a greenfield building, we do lots of these projects. That doesn't tend to be risky. With a complex project like this, we felt there was quite a bit of risk. So if you develop a 30% design, an owner statement of requirements, and you negotiate a contract on that, it's very difficult for the owner to make any changes down the road. It's time-consuming, very costly in a complex project like this one. So when we got on board, we thought about the progressive design build approach, which is used extensively in the U.S. It's being used quite a bit now in Canada. We have done projects this way. It just allows the design to be progressed up to a 60 or 70% level. All of the risks, constructability issues, value engineering, if required, is all done prior to construction. So great advantages to this process. I think the one disadvantage is the proponent is selected primarily on qualifications. So there's not much price information. Typically, you can ask for the pre-construction services design to be priced. You can ask for overhead and profit margins. You can ask for general conditions type pricing. But the cost of the actual work is developed over a, over a period of time. It's open book pricing, which is very good. So you're getting actual quotes. And so when you get to that negotiation stage, your price is pretty much guaranteed, low risk. So that was our thought when we got on board that we could take this approach. Now, following our discussions with the permitting authorities, essentially what they're saying is we need to submit a 70 to 80% almost complete design package to the Water Board, and then that starts their process. So it's about a year long. So if we were to go with design build or progressive design build, we would not have the advantage of starting construction early. We started rethinking this. If we were to negotiate a contract with a design builder and we had an uncertain permitting period and delays in construction, it could be a big risk to the city. Could be costly delays in there. So we've thought about that, and we think that the there's also one other kind of big risk in the design build approach, because we only have a feasibility study done at this stage. We would have to hire an owner's engineer to come up with a preliminary design to transfer over to the design builder. There could be some issues with the permitting authorities if we do that. So having looked at all that, and to minimize that delay risk, we think a conventional design bid model would work best. Did you want me to keep going on this one?
Yeah.
Finish it? Okay. So I think design bid build is the conventional approach the city uses on most of their projects, as I'm aware. It does give you the advantage of total control over the scope and quality up until, the tender package is issued. I think the big risk with design bid build on any project is the city retains the design risk. So errors and omissions translate to change orders, and no one likes those. I think on something this complex, I would recommend that doing that approach, I would have independent constructability reviews done before the tender package is issued. Something like the storage facility is a complex earth berm dam type structure. You might want to have a peer review done of that design prior to construction. But it does give you good bidding opportunities for local contractors, because it's open, it's public, and you get the lowest qualified bidder. So it ensures a competitive process. So I think at this point in time, based on all the information we received from the permitting authorities, I think a design bid build approach is the best way to go to limit the risk. I think at this point we've been meeting with stakeholders all this week. We've gone through a risk mitigation workshop as well this week with the city. If we can finalize this delivery strategy, we also have an RFP prepared for a design consultant and some sub-consultants in there. That could be issued within the next several weeks, I think. That would include the environmental impact consultant, and we would continue with our community awareness and stakeholder engagement. We met with the city communications director today, and we're hoping to have an open house for the project at the end of April. We're trying to organize that right now. And ultimately, the goal is to get a project proposal to NPC. So we think within about 6 months of getting this designer kicked off, we could have that package ready to go. And that would start your four-month NERV process. Then we have to complete the final design, probably June 2024, and then that would start the one-year water board permit process. So as I say, we've only been on board for a few months, and there's a lot to take in. We're still meeting we've met with most of the stakeholders. We've got a few left to do. But yeah, that's our recommendation right now. Did you want to finish?
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian. So the last section of this particular item was about stakeholder consultation. We got a determination letter from Infrastructure Canada, which identified three stakeholders with whom we had to consult. They are NTI, HTA, and QIA. So out of that, we have been able to contact QIA, and we had a consultation with QIA today. HTA and NTI, they haven't given us any dates, so we are planning to have Colias back over here again towards the end of April, and that's the time we are targeting again to get in touch with HTA and NTI as to complete the consultation process. Other than that, there was one more thing that I wanted to bring up, and that was based on our initial consultation with Infrastructure Canada. They had mentioned a requirement which is called the CEB requirements. Basically, we have to make sure that we are employing a certain number of locals from this place. So one of the questions that we had was if we are implementing this requirement, whether it would be required to have the NNI requirement as well included in the tender packages. In my evaluation, it's not required because we are following the Infrastructure Canada regulations. So that's one of the things I wanted to bring up. And finally, my apologies for not formatting this properly. So basically, the two motions I would like to request based on this presentation were one, to move from the design-build approach to the design-bid-build approach. And the other one was having the CB requirements in the contract or in the tender packages rather than the NNI requirements.
Thank you, Suman, for your presentation. Thanks, Ian, as well. Just before I go to questions, I forgot at the start to introduce Firas Yunes, his first time in the chamber. Firas is our new manager of engineering. Welcome. Thank you. Are there questions regarding this presentation? Councillor Kwasa?
Thank you, Chairperson. My question here. I'm not really clear on one of his presentation, and I want that clarified.
Tema. To be second, the Romatrin, the Apacutacoma, Wongatan, or Kosha Kisakta,
NNI,
Maliga Luni,
and I know it is a regulation.
That's
made by the government, and it's also a regulation to the community.
Rather than NTI, not NTI, NNI.
The term NNI.
I just want a little bit more clarification why, and give me a reason for not using NNI rather than the other one. Thank you. Koyanami.
Yeah, so as far as NNI requirements are concerned, these are mostly applicable to GN-funded projects, which in this case, this is not a GN-funded project, it's a federal-funded project. So, and they have given specific requirements in terms of their requirements. So I thought it's best not to mix up things and just keep it simple and based on the requirements of this particular project.
Thank you. Councillor Kwasa.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll be speaking in English.
I don't know if I'm correct, Bora, but I do understand that the NNI is the obligations are from the governments, the government of the federal government, and as I understand it, the municipalities. No. Tabernacle, I negotiated this provision here, and but I thought I read something that the municipalities were going to be obligated also to follow the NNI process, but I might be mistaken, but I just wanted to get that clarified. Because I know the federal government is obligated, and so is Nunavut government. I just wanted to get that clarified.
Thank you, Councillor Kwasa. So my understanding of it is that when our projects are funded by the territorial government, then we need to follow that NNI process. But when they're not funded, then our bylaws don't require us to follow that same process. It's the confusing part for me would be that if the federal government is required to follow NNI and we're being funded by federal dollars, it would seem we would still have to. But if we don't, then I don't know. I know Suman is suggesting that we don't, that we would just follow the federal government required procurement policies and avoid the territorial one because it's federal money. So that's what you're requesting us to make a motion to today, one of two. Is that clear? Mayor Awa?
Thank you, Chairperson. I also want clarification on about the design. Perhaps I'll ask my council members first. I wonder if they have this being approached by the city. I was probably away at the time if there was a meeting on this. Visioning what kind of design it might be
on this
long-term water supply project. Thank you, Chairperson.
Clean the meat. Mayor Awa, does anyone have comment or response? Deputy Mayor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the council has by motion approved the plan that we're going forward with for the water supply with the second reservoir, the one that's shown in the picture on here. So that has been decided. The work that's going on behind the scenes is to move that project forward. It's a settled matter at this point in time, the way that's going to look. I'm sure there'll be more input along the way while the actual formal design is going forward. But the plans to expand our water supply via an additional water reservoir is a settled matter by a motion. And that's what our engineering department and consultants are working to move forward through this process now. So that the decision on the big vision is a done and settled matter from council at this point in time.
Is that clarify for you? Go ahead.
When make sure that when make tumulak shepherd makatan na apakutigin gayak kota ka takunung nunay pa yek ko katimayingin nyo takuyaw yung rechang niya patay na akitaw mo when make sure.
I think, go ahead, Marwa.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps I go English channel. You're talking about design phase. Does that mean that the City Council will have to make an option of the design by the engineer? Thank you.
Suman?
Yes, I mean, we need a design. There is no question about that. But the approach to design and build and how we design it and how we construct it was what we were debating. So basically, when we do a design build, we kind of hire one entity which does the design and the construction, both. They may be outsourcing the design to some other company, but we give a contract to them that you design it, you construct it. The other conventional approach that we follow in the city is that we hire a consultant to do the engineering design first. Once the design is given to us, then we go to tender and try to hire a contractor to build that. So initially, my thoughts was like, because we don't have enough time over here, the time horizon is less and we have to achieve a lot within this time. So my idea was like when I first presented in August 2022, I said we'll go with the design build approach, which is like saving a lot of time for us so that we are within the time frame. But I have to deviate. I'm requesting council to deviate from that approach and go to the conventional design bid build model because we have so many hurdles in front of us in terms of permitting. Like we don't know what we are. Most probably if we take the approach of design and build by a single entity, we'll run into problems in different types of risks. That's why I'm suggesting that we go back to the conventional design bid build model. Just to not encounter any roadblocks down the road on the permitting front, on the licensing front.
Namaktu. Councillor Amapala. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you guys for the presentation. I just also wanted to clarify something in your presentation. You indicated for the recommended delivery model of the design bid build that you would award it to the lowest qualified bidder. But do you mean like the lowest like cost of bidder, like not in terms of qualified? Because I would assume whoever you're awarding it to would be a qualified proponent who is designing it. And the only reason why I'm bringing that up is because it seems to be a recurring theme with all of city infrastructure that something is built and we have to end up either modifying something on it or adding more fixer-ups or uppers to what is being built for us. And so I just want to make sure, like, are there any guarantees to what is being built once the water system is built?
Thank you for that question. Go ahead, Suman.
So in a design bid build model, we'll have two components. First is an engineering consultant designing the project and then a contractor coming in and building that project based on the design delivered by this particular consultant. So as far as the current practice is concerned, we have a criteria to evaluate the consultants. It's based on two fronts, technical and financial. So the technical evaluation is done on a basis of 70 points on which the consultants are marked. So there are different categories like corporate experience, project experience, like methodology and those kind of criteria. So what we do is like a proponent has to score 70% or 49 points out of that 70 points. It's only then that we go and open the financial bids provided by the proponent. If the proponent fails to score 49, we don't open the financial score. So that's kind of our quality check in terms of the engineering consultant is concerned. And now, let's say whatever project it is, it's designed, it's time to go to construction. So we kind of go to tender based on the tender package prepared by the consultant, the engineering consultant. Now, when it comes to evaluation of contractor, we don't have anything as technical evaluation of the contractor or any such matter where we evaluate. We normally go by the lowest bid. That's the current practice. And based on the purchasing bylaws we have. So I'm trying to introduce something called the consultant performance evaluation form. I have shared it with Rod. We are going through some iterations before we can finalize that, just to plug in those things over there, both in terms of constructor performance evaluation as well as engineering consultant performance evaluation. Now, as you very rightly said, there are certain things which need to be taken into account given the magnitude of this project. So the 70 points based on which the consultants are evaluated, we are trying to bring in some changes in that with more stringent criteria so that just anybody cannot put a proposal and score 49 and then win the job with a very low price. So that's something which is in the works. We just discussed with Colliers during this 1 week they were here. So I'm trying to bring those changes, at least in terms of this particular project, long-term water supply project.
Thank you. Okay, that's perfect. I like to hear that. But in terms of like the guaranteed of, I don't even know the performance guaranteed that you mentioned in the design build here with the procurement strategy. I know that wasn't the recommended delivery model, but it says that the plant performance guaranteed by the design builder is an advantage to that. So is there any way that we can have some sort of guaranteed that it will perform to the way it's supposed to for like a certain number of years before we have any sort of amendments or proposals coming back saying we need to fix this part of the plant just because it was poorly built or very low quality usage of the materials that was used for it just to save money on it? Like, is there any sort of guarantee that we can build into this contract or somehow use as an evaluation guarantee once it is built and completed? Because having this magnitude of a project being built, it's going to be a lot of money. So we assume that we won't have to spend more money later on. So I just wanted to see if that was a possibility or if you already have that and you're looking into it. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Suma?
Yeah, I mean, so as I said, like we are trying to do it in steps. So step one will be the design part where we are trying to modify those technical evaluation criteria, have more stringent measures or stringent criteria included there so that we can filter out the not so qualified consultants, if I may say that. And the second part is about choosing the right constructor. So that's where I'm more worried about because we are tied with the purchasing bylaws, and I'm trying to bring in that other dimension called contractor performance evaluation, where we'll try to, like, as you know, over here, there are like hardly three or four local contractors, and probably they will go for it. Given the magnitude of the job, if they collaborate with some other contractor from the south, we will need to do a proper evaluation of that also. So it's kind of something which is in the works right now. As a first step, I initiated that contractor performance evaluation. If they're local contractors, we know a little bit about their past performance, so we can kind of put a put a proper check in that front, on that front. So yes, it's something in the works. I don't have a concrete proposal right now how we are going to do that at the construction stage, but I'm sure we'll work out something before, and probably I'll come back to council and ask for those changes. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Councillor Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So on this, this is more, I guess, for Water Board application. So due to the consultation process, this could take a year. So that's a year from the actual finalization of the design, correct? Which we expect in June 2024. So we have limited data available for analysis of water, I guess, historic water samples. Will from now until then be enough time to get enough data to be sure that we'll actually be able to proceed with this application? It also says anticipated documents required with the application are these, and I'm just wondering if that's just what we anticipate, or have we actually, the Water Board has specified that these are what we need and there's no other data that they require, or I assume we're not making assumptions, but I just want to clarify. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Suman?
Yeah, we brought up this particular question during our last consultation with the Water Board, and this is the list they have given. There could be more to it. It's only when you submit the application they might come up with more, but right now it's this one, what they have said. In terms of collecting adequate data, I mean, we are trying our best. Like if we submit an application where we have collected 1 year of information for flow or whatever, and they come back to us and say, no, we need 5 years of flow, then obviously we don't have that information in the data, and then we kind of get stalled with that. So it's kind of will depend on their feedback, what they're looking for.
Thank you for that. Deputy Mayor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's no doubt there's a pile of risks with this project. There's always going to be. The model being proposed as a design bid build is how we do everything at the city. This is how all of our construction projects are done historically. So we're not reinventing the wheel or doing anything outrageous. We're going away from a more progressive idea back to the standard that we always do, that we have the most experience with. So, you know, the timelines are disappointing. It's the reality. I think we need to do anything we can do today to move this design forward, to get our regulatory filings underway as soon as possible. You know, our best case scenario is shovels and ground in probably late summer 2025 at this point in time, with a minimum year turnaround. We're not going to be seeing any expanded water supply until at least 2026. So, you know, that being said, with the information presented tonight, I will move to proceed forward on the water project on a design bid build approach.
Thank you for that. Is there a seconder to that motion? Seconded by Mayor Awa. Are there other comments or questions to the motion now? This is just the first motion. There'll be a requested second motion anyway. Seeing none, all in favor? It's unanimous. Perfect. Then does somebody else want to make a motion, or does somebody want to make a motion, or should we discuss a bit more about the use of the NNI versus using the federal government's process for procurement in this case and the advantages to that? Deputy Mayor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, the NNI approach has validity in certain circumstances. I don't recall it being included in any contracts we've awarded in the last recent history anyways. I can't recall any myself. You know, given the size of the project, the cost of this project, I think it needs to be done under the federal rules applicable, assuming the CEB are the only requirements that provides us the most flexibility moving forward, I would suggest we proceed with that. The NNI policy does not apply to the city of Iqaluit, except in certain circumstances, and it doesn't appear that this is one of those circumstances. So I would be in favor of moving forward with the recommendation of staff.
Councillor Tilley, go ahead.
On here it says NNI requirements, and with a lot of government contracts require the requirements with the NNI, it's a mandate set by the government for Nunavummiut to bid on government contracts, but I didn't see anything in our documents with anything with NNI stuff, but on here I see requirements on any government contracts or bidding on any government contract. It's a regulation, and when it says requirements, the standard on contracts is 20% Inuit employment. I'm thinking that's what they're looking at, giving preferred business to Inuit companies and having a percentage of Inuit workforce. I think that's what they're trying to get at, because I see NNI requirements, not NNI regulations, if that clarifies anything.
Thank you, Councillor Tilley. I know that you've requested a motion. I don't even really know that we need one. I think that the city should follow its regular procurement policy, and if that doesn't include NNI because this isn't a funded GN project, then don't include NNI. I mean, that's how we proceed with all of our procurement. We follow our procurement policy, unless somebody on council would like to. It would be the other motion that you would really need to make, which is ordering going against the recommendation of our staff and saying that you have to follow NNI even though it's not required of us, would be my understanding of the situation we're in right now, right? We're not required to follow NNI if it's not funded by the government in Nunavut. Anyone disagree? Councillor Kwasak, go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. Because there's also a question in the documents if the public will be involved or not involved. I want this clarified.
Ask
this question when you're meeting with the NTI reps. They probably more of this. I am in full support of this. Item to move forward with, I will fully support it. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Councillor Kwasa. So I think probably where we're sitting right now is that even if we were passing a motion tonight, it would be a recommendation to council. So between now and that council meeting, I don't think we should pass a motion, but between now and that council meeting, if administration realizes or does an investigation and sees that we need specific direction, we can give that direction at the council meeting during the committee report still. But as of right now, I don't think there's any need. We should follow our procurement policies the way they're written. Is that satisfactory to everyone? Perfect. I think then we're moving on to item B, and the new Iqaluit Operations Center project status update. Suman, you're still up.
Thank you, Chairperson. So basically, based on that, I know I took the approval of council last time when I sought approval for going to tender with this Federal Road water main extension. So just on top of whatever I have mentioned here, just wanted to know, the committee to know that we have closed this tender yesterday. We have got three bids, and currently we are in the evaluation process for this Federal Road water main extension. Other than that, I don't have much to add on this, apart from what I've mentioned already here.
Thank you, Simone. This is a great opportunity to ask questions if somebody has one right now. Has anyone got a question regarding this project? Noting none. We spent a long time on the first item. We got through the second one pretty quick. We'll move on to item C and the Apex River Supplementary Pumping for 2023 project status update. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairperson. So an update. We had Stantec representatives visiting Iqaluit from February 28 to March 2nd, and we have consulted with the AJ and the GN team, as well as other stakeholders. And based on that, we are expecting that Stantec's mechanical and electrical report will be submitted by tomorrow. And then the next question would be getting approval from the AHA. Like, there are single line diagrams which will be submitted, there will be a report. So depending on how quickly we'll have an approval from GN, we will move to hire a contractor, an electrical contractor, who will do the electrical modifications to the pumps and the generator. Basically, and the other thing which came up during the interactions with GN was they have said that they will give one of their generators, which came with the RO plant, for this year's operation at Apex River. But they also need this generator to be recertified. So I'm not very clear at the moment who will recertify it, whether GN will recertify and give it to us, or we have to do the recertification. In case we have to do it, then it will be an additional work again. And also, the change order which we gave a Stantec was to do the preliminary site visit and this report on the electrical mechanical requirements. So probably they'll come up with another change order for design and implementation of those changes at site. So these are basically the new updates I have. Other than that, again, I will not read through what is already presented in this document over here. And I'm open to answer questions.
Thank you very much for that presentation. Deputy Mayor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Once this is fully designed, approved, built, and in place, ready to go with the pumping at Apex River, is it mobile enough to be moved to unnamed lake if we need to? If the flow from Apex River is so low that we are not able to pump for some reason, is it possible to move this setup with the equipment that's required and the approvals that are in place to unnamed lake, realizing there's other permitting and regulatory issues with that, but can we physically move it and use it at another location?
limited experience from last year, it will be prudent to have a backup set because of the fact that if we have to go to unnamed lake, there's not only the pumps and the generator, it's also the pipelines, which the hoses which we need from unnamed lake to Apex River. So those things, we are solely depending on GN to provide with those hoses. We don't have that. Apart from that, I think what I've planned now is that we will be using this RO plant generator, but we'll also repair the generator which we used at Apex site last year. It has some broken seals on the generator which are going to be repaired, and I'll keep that as a backup. So in case we need to go to unnamed lake for whatever reason, then this generator will be our backup. And in terms of pumps, we probably have to use a different set of pumps probably also. Having said that, the backup generator, like the generator which was used at Apex, that will not be suitable because that's rated at 600 volts, and we need a 480 volt rated generator for the existing pumps. So anyways, that kind of modification will also be required. So I would rather have a backup system ready, so in case we have emergencies, have to go to unnamed lake, we have this system in place.
Thank you for that. Deputy Mayor Shepherd, follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I promised myself never to use unnamed lake again, and then I forgot the name. I'm hoping Mayor Awa will remind me when he speaks right after me here. Just regarding the generator with the RO unit, you know, it's my understanding the city acquired the reverse osmosis machine. Did that generator not come with it? Is that generator still a GN asset, or is it a City of Iqaluit asset?
Well, hold on. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. So there was a lot of back and forth with GN on that, like everybody claiming that it belongs to them. Like I was not there when this thing happened. So I understood that there was some kind of an agreement with GN where we'll pay a dollar and get those equipment in our name. But then GN has come back and said that no, it still belongs to them. And they have given, recently they have provided Rod with a user agreement document, which we have to sign and then send it off to them. So it's still, based on today's situation, it still is owned by GN.
Yeah, Rod, do you want to clarify before we go to irate Deputy Mayor Shepherd?
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So I've done some digging. I've had these conversations back and forth with the government. I was of the understanding back in 2019, at the same time when I was city clerk, we went through this. It was the understanding that the RO, what we were given, this generator was part of it. The GN has stated to me that that was not the agreement. I've looked for a paper agreement, something that was signed off by both parties. No such document exists. I am going to utilize this time with the user agreement that's coming forward. If it is their unit and they're saying it's not our unit, then I would be adamant that they pay for the cost of the recertification of the unit if it is their unit. If it is the city's unit, then obviously the city most likely would be required to commission the recertification. So that's the last step in clarity that I need to do with the unit for the user agreement, but there is nothing that I can find on paper where there's a signed agreement for that generator unit being provided to the city.
Thank you, Rod. Deputy Mayor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So not only did we spend $1 million fixing a piece of equipment, it didn't even come with all the parts. Can we give it back to the GN and bill them for the money we wasted on that? That's infuriating that, you know, to give us equipment, spend the amount of money that we did preparing for the eventuality of a significant emergency with our water supply. This goes back to previous council. This is not even this council. We spent $1 million on a reverse osmosis unit in case we needed it to supplement our water supply with ocean water. The fact that that generator was not included with that is utterly infuriating. Very, very disappointing on the part of the government. They should take that RO unit back and pay us back for every dollar we put into it.
Thank you, Councillor Shepherd. Deputy Mayor Shepherd, Mayor Awa.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, someone, for this epic server. And I agree with the Deputy Mayor Shepherd also. I agree that we will have to be alarmed or be prepared to put the water pump up to Kikertalik. That's what it says. Now I remember. Kikertalik. The reason is that I think if we do observation on the amount of snow that's falling during the winter, you can see that there's a lot of rocks, surface, indication of the, it is the half snow that this year. I know we don't know the future of the weather. It may have rain for a month. I don't know. We don't know. But I think we may need to prepare because of the snow condition. That kind of low snow condition indicated that the water supply will not last in those small rivers. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Awa. Are there other comments, questions? Before I guess we leave this topic, I know that I have some concern about the amount of water and when we're going to start pumping to deal with the immediate. Do we get regular updates on how much water is in Lake Geraldine at the moment?
Yes, we do get updates. I think currently the level at Lake Geraldine, based on the last report from the top of my head, it was about 108 or something like that, around 108 meters. So we do, answering your question, we do get regular updates on a biweekly basis.
And does 108 mean good or bad?
Right now, we are losing a lot of water. Like, because of the leakage we had at AV305, we lost water at the rate of almost 6,000 meter cube per day for at least, probably 5 to 7 days at least. And then even now, the trend, what I see, the daily scalar reports that I get, we are hitting around 4,000 meter cube per day average. Whereas ideally at this time, it should be around 3,500. So we will definitely, the trend which I see in the graph, which we get on a biweekly basis, it's definitely descending at a faster rate than last year. So probably we'll hit by June, we'll hit a lower level than what we were in June last year. But provided we have good flow in Apex and everything is fine, everything goes properly, we'll be able to recuperate that water, but it will all depend on how quickly we can utilize, because right now these hurdles, we have to get over it, and we should be able to pump at the earliest opportunity. We should not lose even a day.
Thank you for that. And I mostly asked the question because it's a good reminder for this council and for anyone who's listening that we're still in a water crisis, and that conserving water, though those messages seem old, they seem from, 3-4 years ago when we first started talking about this, but they still apply, and we need to be very careful on a personal level and on a citywide level to make sure that we can get to the summer. Yeah, Rod, go ahead.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. So just recently, I had communications release an update to WaterWise tips in a PSA, as well as we were using the website as well, and we're going to do more frequent fluid updates to the community. As Councillor Stevenson has stated, we are still in this situation. We still need to conserve water. We still need to do everything we can as residents to ensure that, you know, we make our water last. Just a touch on the data that we're receiving. So we're currently at 109 meters above sea level for the volume that's in the reservoir. The tipping point, or what I've looked at it and seen as forecasted, and I've talked to Simone in depth about this, you know, when we get to the 104 meter, that's when we need to really be wary, because what I could see and try to project through the model that was provided is that if we don't have the flow during the freshet and we're still not hitting the pumps to begin in early, you know, early to mid-June, we would probably August, September, that will be our two critical months.
Thank you, Rod. Deputy Mayor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Rod touched on this a little bit, but there's a lot of people sitting around our table now that have never seen the charts and spent the in-depth time that some of us have with Lake Geraldine and how that works. You know, you hear 108 meters and you think that's really good, but, you know, that lake is not that deep. It's always referred to in meters above sea level. The lake is not as deep as sea level by any means. So I think 111 meters is overflowing the spillway. So when it's full to the top and leaking over the top, that's 111 meters over above sea level. Where it is right now is, you know, 2 or 3 meters below that full mark for the entire area of the lake. And the lake isn't a pipe either. It kind of goes down into a V in the middle. So the lower it goes, the less water that's actually available. We need that upper range of the lake is where most of the water is held. So it would be beneficial, I think, for councillors to get a hold of some of the information that we've had previously on Lake Geraldine, just to kind of familiarize yourself now, just in case there's decisions that need to be made later and we'll all be on the same page understanding the bathymetry of that lake before we get later on into summer.
Thank you for that, Mayor Awa.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is perhaps to Rod or Simmons regarding water.
If we
run out of water by the time that snow is melted, will we be having to require to pump elsewhere? Thank you, Chairperson.
Simone, do you want to try to answer that?
Sorry, I just got half of that question. I didn't get the other half because I got lost in translation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just curiosity that we are now preparing to pump water from the Epic River. That means when it's hot out, when the river streams start to flow. That's understandable. My question is, do we need to be aware before the thaw out starts, do we need to be aware that we may need to start pumping water outside the Grinnell? Thank you.
Go ahead.
One of the measures we are taking right now is like trying to get a authorization from DFO to withdraw water more than what is mentioned in our license, the upper limit or what there is a stipulation in terms of how much we can withdraw from Apex River. And if we need to withdraw more, then we have to take an approval from DFO. Given last year's experience, I've already initiated that process through Strantec to provide that additional buffer so that if required, we can withdraw additional water from Apex River. So that is also in our back pocket. If we need to execute that, we should be able to do that. But in terms of prayer, like what will happen to the flow, that's a $1 million question. Like we, as you rightly pointed out before, so if the flow itself is very low, then probably there's no point in having that extra buffer because we won't be able to withdraw anyways because if there's no water. So
unless I misunderstood the mayor, I think he was asking if there's a backup plan of the Sylvia Grinnell if the Apex River is, like, are we doing any planning of coming from the Sylvia Grinnell if the Apex River is insufficient for any reason?
Sorry, I missed out that part. No, we don't have any plans to take water from Sylvia Grinnell right now.
Are there any further questions to the Apex River supplemental pumping presentation? Noting none, we can move on to item D, request for proposal, environmental consulting on long-term water supply project, verbal update. Sumon.
Thank you, Chairperson. So this is just a small update. We are planning to go ahead and publish an RFP for the environmental consulting component, but initially, what our thoughts were that we will include everything in this, geotechnical investigation, archaeological investigation, and whatever is required for the permitting process. But this afternoon, we had a discussion with GN's archaeological department, and it seems that they are willing to undertake the archaeological, we could undertake the archaeological investigation and study irrespective of where we are in the application process. So probably we need to do a little bit of reorientation in terms of this RFP package of how we are packaging it. Maybe we will take some of the components out just to fast track things, like in terms of the archaeological investigation and study. So that's the only update I have right now.
Thank you for that. I think it's best to get the GN to do anything that they'll do for us, really. Good idea. Are there any questions? Noting none. Thank you very much for those presentations. We are going to move into the in-camera portion of this meeting now. I'll take the motion to go in camera and then we'll take a break to sort it out. But the motion moved by Mayor Awa and seconded by Councillor Kwasa. All in favor? Unanimous. And we'll take a couple of minutes to clear the room and do our switchover, and then we will be in camera. Thank you. Okay, so I think we're ready to go. Deputy Mayor Shepherd, did you want to make a motion? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move to recommend to Council to award the contract to Nunavut Excavating for remediation of AV-305.
Thank you. Is there a seconder to that motion? Councillor Smith. Are there comments or questions to that motion? Noting none, all those in favor? We are unanimous. And we are also basically done. Can I have a motion to adjourn? Councillor Smith and Mayor Awa. I almost called you a councillor. See, we're doing the switch. All those in favor? And we are done. Thank you very much.